free online. But anyway, Psalm chapter 107, we'll read there. Amen. Your King James Bible should say this. Verse number 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We could park there a while, could we?
Amen.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so,
whom
He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of all their distresses. Sing with me if you know the song. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Amen. In my message this morning, the word so is a good word for believers to proclaim. Because the word so is an emphatic word, it's an emphatic word that draws attention to the level of intensity to the word with which it is describing. For instance, when you want to say something sometimes you use the word tall. It may not be enough. You might say it is so tall. When you see something that may be considered great, the word great may not be enough, but you might say that it is so great. And the word fast may not be enough, but you could use the word so fast. It's an emphatic word. And there are times you may come across those who overuse the word so, especially in this modern day in which we live. And as drama queens, they rage. I so wanted to sleep in this morning. I was so tired. My pillow was so soft. My bed was so warm, but my alarm clock was so going off. And I so did not want to hear because I so did not want to move. My mom was so yelling at me that I was so not going to get any breakfast because the school bus was so outside my door, so blowing its horn. Sometimes people overuse it. Well, listen, that might be, while the word so may be overused at times by those who may try to put emphasis on words that really may not need emphasizing, when it comes to the testimony or the condition of the child of God, the word so can be used not only rightly, but regularly. Not only rightly, but regularly. Therefore, if the Lord will help me this morning, I want to bring a message as a believer simply saying so. So. Saying so. Listen, when I consider this, I thought about it. God led me this direction. I was at a meeting last week down in Salado. God bless me. I was at a meeting down in Salado, Texas, and I mean, God was just moving. The Rochesters were singing, "It Is Well with My Soul." And I thought about that, and as Brother Ray knows, I often insert words to songs, amen? And so as we were singing there, I got to thinking, "It is well with my soul. It is well, oh, so well. So well." Well, as I considered that, God began to direct my thoughts. And it's no wonder that it's so well with my soul because we have such a great God. He is so great. And a believer can use the word so rightly and regularly. I think about my own life, number one. As a believer, there was a time that I was so lost. Listen to me. And there, it's so well with my soul. It goes back to the time when I remember. You may not remember, but I remember. That I was so lost. Listen, to make no mistake about it. When we looked at condition before, my condition before redemption, it could not be defined merely. It could not be defined accurately as just lost. In my life, I was one that was so lost. God's Word declares My existence before Christ was one of an enemy of God. I was against God's perfect will for my life. It describes me as one living under the very judgment of Almighty God. It was one of carnality and pride and self-will. And the Bible says that I was an alien from the commonwealth and a stranger concerning the covenants and the promises of God, having no hope and without God in this world. Not just lost, but so lost. Now I want you to know, I was not just lost, I was so lost. I was like that wicked king Nebuchadnezzar in the way that I established my own idols. My own idols to worship. I was like that woman at the well who said she had five husbands and God she's with now, the Lord told her, not yet. My life was a wreck because I was so lost. Like that maniac of the Gadarenes, I was on a self-destructive path. I was on a self-destructive mode of being controlled and led by my unclean spirit. Like that woman caught in adultery, I was so guilty before God. And like most, I had a movement. I had movement, but I had no life. I was so lost. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I can say so. Because I was so lost. You ever been there? It's important you go there. I was so lost. I didn't know which way was up. I didn't know which way was down. I couldn't recognize the way that was right. I didn't know which way was wrong. I tried this club and that club. I tried this crowd and that crowd. I went to various events. I got involved with wickedness, all in an attempt to have some sort of inner peace within me, but to no avail. Why? Because every time I was alone, when the television was off and the radio was off and nobody else was around that I could focus on, within my bosom there was no peace. Within my bosom I had no purpose. I was living in a state of fear. Vanity of vanities, Solomon recorded. I was so blind as a man in John chapter number 9. And as David said of himself, so my feeble existence was one that could be defined as living a life in an horrible pit, trapped in a miry clay. I was so lost. So lost. So lost. When I think about my so lost condition, I think about the fact that I was lost. I was lost naturally. It was nothing that I did. I was born a sinner. I was born under the condemnation of God. Why? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. I was lost naturally. Not only that, not only was I lost naturally, but I was also lost condemningly. John chapter number 3 tells me that I am condemned already. You don't do enough sin, all of a sudden deserve to be condemned. You're born in a state of condemnation. But by God's grace, we would not have any way to be redeemed. My lost condition was one that was natural, and my lost condition was so bad it was condemningly lost. Because of these two things, thirdly, I was eternally lost. Eternally lost. Nothing I can do. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I can say that. Because I was so lost. So lost. And one of the hindrances of God's people serving the Lord the way they're supposed to is they've never ever seen themselves as so lost. You know why? Because we look left and right and we see other people that are worse than we are. It makes us feel pretty good. And because you think yourself so good, you don't get to see yourself as so lost. It messes you up. So lost. One thing that helps me serve God. And I'll never want to forget how so lost I was.
Amen.
That's why as a redeemed, I can say so. So. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I can say that. Because I was so lost. But then I realized in my so lost condition, that I was so loved. I was so loved No, sir, for me, it would have never been enough to merely love me. Why, holy God would have had to be a so loving God. John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. God will get practice personalizing that, that the God of heaven, the God of all creation, the God of all that is, that omnipotent, omnipresent, God loved you. You. He loved this world and its system. He loved the people of the world. That's you and that's me. Not only was I so lost, but I marveled because I realized I was so loved. Listen, I was so loved, A, when measured by the reach of His love. The love of God, listen, it had to reach far beyond the proverbial exterior to see what was on the interior. Because there was no good, even on the inside of this low-down sinner. There was no good to be won. There was no good to be had. I'm telling you that when compared to a holy God, there was nothing I could do to warrant His love. Listen, if that God did not choose to love me, I would not be so loved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The song here says, I tried and tried to think of some good deed that I might have done that would give to me a right to claim a kinship to God's Son. Could it have been because I tried in every way to please? Or could it have been because I spent some time down on my knees? Or could it be that in the past, some precious deed I've done, when I've searched and searched and searched my heart, I realize it's nothing that I've done. The love of God defies all understanding of the mind. And He chose to walk up Calvary's hill to die for all mankind. And those awful scars He bore for me while hanging on that tree was the price for my redemption, and He did it all for me. So loved. I'm so loved because when you measure His love by the measure of its reach, it had to go beyond the exterior to the interior because there was no interior worth loving. When measured, it's so loved when it's measured not only by its reach but by its requirements. Listen, when it come to the redemption of my rotten soul, it took all of God. That is, that it took all of the three parts of what we know as the Godhead. It took a sovereign God being willing to give His Son. We know John 3:16, we've heard it already. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It took a sovereign God giving His Son. Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It took the sovereign God giving His Son. Secondly, it took the Son of God to bear my guilt and shame. It took the Son of God, Almighty God, Jesus Christ, to come, born of a virgin, not having the sinful nature of man, living a sinless life in my place, and then dying a substitutionary death in my place. It took a sovereign God to give His Son. It took the Son of God to give His life to die in my place. And then it took the Spirit of God to bring that conviction, to show me my condition. The Bible says that comfort, when He comes, He'll reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I didn't get that on my own. Remember, within me is no good thing. There's nothing in me make me desire God but what the Spirit of God allows me to do. I was so loved. I so loved. I was so loved. I so loved when you measure it by the reach of that love. I'm so loved when it's measured by the requirements it took to save me. I'm so loved when it was measured by its restriction. Now think about this. Think about this. In John chapter number 1, verse 11, the Bible tells us that He came into His own received Him not. But as many as received into them gave you power to become the sons of God. Think about the restrictions. Here it is. Think about that. Think about this. That God, you could have a sovereign God that's willing to give His Son. You could have a loving son that's willing to obey his father and to do what's necessary to save all of mankind. But the truth of the matter is, knowing that doesn't make a person saved.
Yeah, that's right.
Every individual has to receive it. That's the restriction. Love of God has appeared, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. But why do we know that all men are not going to be saved? You know why? Because here's a restriction. It's up to us to receive it. All of that work, all of that love, all of that death on Calvary, all the awfulness that He went through, all of that could have been for nothing because I've got a free will. And I could choose to say I don't want it, just like many do today. And it does not take away one bit of how much He loves you. Not one bit. Doesn't take one bit away from how much He loved me. The measure of His love. The measure of His love. Why? When you measure it by its reach. When you measure it by its requirements. When you measure it by its restrictions. That being that my ability to receive it or reject it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, so! I can say that because I was so lost. And I realized I was so loved. Now, number three, I'm so alive. I'm so alive. Hallelujah. Something new in me. I'm not the same way I used to be. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Place I used to go, I don't go there anymore. You know why? I don't know. Something on the inside. I'm not the same way. I'm alive. I'm alive. And God did it in the work of God. I'm not just alive, but I'm so alive. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, and you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. The work of God has brought life within my bosom. And I'm not just alive, but I'm so alive. John 11, chapter 25, Jesus said to Mary or Martha, forget which one, but He said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm alive this morning. Hallelujah. I've got to thinking this morning, you know, you ever consider how much God and death don't go together? I mean to tell you, God and death. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. There's Lazarus. He's fixing to come up out of the grave. God and death, they don't seem to stay close together very often. Oh, I'm so alive. So alive. Listen, as David was, I am. There he was in that horrible pit. There he was in that miry clay. But the mighty loving hand of God reached way down, lifted him up, and established his feet on a solid rock. Hallelujah. That's me. That's me. Old Johnny Pope said, I'm so saved, I could swing over hell on a rotten cornstalk, seeking amazing grace, spit the devil in the eye, and still drinking R.C. Cola. I'm alive this morning. I'm alive this morning. I'm not just alive, I'm so alive. I'm so alive. Why? Because it's so, my life now defined as being a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm not the same way I used to be. I don't understand why people be able to claim the Lord Jesus Christ and crawl right back into the same mess that God led them out of. I'm not the same way as I used to be. God worked in my life. God's made me alive. And I'm a different person than I was before. Why? Because I'm so alive. I'm a new creature. Not only am I a new creature, now I have a new companion. We talked about that comforter earlier. Now I got the voice of God within me as a lost person. I didn't have that. All I could go by is what my friends said. They may be wrong. All I could go by is what the other man said. They may be wrong. I listen to what the philosopher's saying, what the scholar's saying, what the educationer's saying, what everybody out in the world said. All I had to go by was what my own view was. But guess what? Now I got a companion.
Yep.
And that voice of Almighty God whispers inside of me what is right and what is wrong. And now I've got something I didn't have before.
Yep.
You know why? Because I'm so alive. I'm so alive. You don't have that this morning, there's something wrong with you. Amen. Who's with me?
Amen.
Where's it at? Your influence is out there in the world. Your influence is billboard signs, magazines, the radio, the television. What about the Word of God? What about the people of God? What about the house of God? The Spirit of God. It's a companion. I'll send him. He'll be there. He's a comforter. He'll guide you. That word comforter means paraclete, one who walks alongside with you. Many today, God's children have quenched the Spirit of God to where, yeah, they may be saved. I'm not doubting that. I don't know that. I'm not saying I doubt. You may not be. I don't want to give you one iota of confidence that you're saved if you think you may not be. I'm telling you right now, you put the Spirit of God around the Word of God and the people of God, and you'll be able to feel what I'm talking about this morning alive. alive. Alive, Jesus said, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm a new creature. I have a new companion in the Holy Ghost of God. And then I have the fact that that I'm going to live continually. John said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. I'm so alive. Listen, you may kill this body, but you ain't going to kill me. This body ain't me. Me is what you don't see. I better get off of that, amen? My mind's thinking. I got to get away from it. Anyway, I'm alive. It's not my body. Didn't Jesus say, don't fear him that could destroy the body? Because the body's not you. The body more than meat and I think life more than raiment. It is just a body. But this soul is going to live forever. By the way, I preached a message not too long ago. It's worth repeating right here just real quickly that, you know, the Bible records your body dying, your spirit dying, because your spirit has to be made alive. But the soul of man never dies. Let me put it this way. We know the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's more appropriate to say the soul never dies. It may die eternally. It may eternally die. It'll never die eternally. But if you trust Christ as your Savior, you don't have to worry about death any longer. We don't fear him that can destroy the body. Because we're alive forevermore. We shall not come into condemnation. Hallelujah. We're so alive. Hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's me. That's me, because I was so lost and realized that I was so loved. And now I'm so alive. And number four, now I'm so living for him. I'm so living for him. I'm so living for him. I'm not living for you. I'm not living for money. I'm not living for fortune or fame. I'm so living for that Savior who gave his life for me. I'm not just living for him. I'm so living for him. Jesus said of his Father, my meat, that is my sustenance, what I want, what I live for, what I hunger for, is not food, is not money, and it's not raiment, it's not material thing. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's my desire. I was so lost, and now I'm so loved, and then I became so alive. Who would I be if would I not so live for him? I love him. I want to learn about him. I want to listen to him. I want to labor for him. Listen, I'm motivated by my love for him. Paul said this. He said, we love him. Or John said, wrote down, we love him because he loved us. And Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth me. I love him this morning. I'm motivated because I love him this morning. I'm motivated because of my ownership to him. I'm so living for him, not only because I love him, but I'm motivated because he owns me. I belong to him. I belong to him. And I'm motivated by that. He bought me with a price. He bought me with his blood on Calvary. He bought me and I belong to him. And I live for him because he is my owner. Well, nobody owns me, bless God. That's your problem. The truth of the matter is, the devil owns you, or you own your own self, and that's just about as bad. I'm not trying to make friends. I'm not trying to make enemies either. I'm just telling you, if you're saved this morning, God purchased you with the blood of His Son. And He owns you. He owns you. I'm motivated because I love Him. And I'm motivated by my love for Him. I'm motivated by my ownership to Him. I'm motivated thoroughly because of my blessings received from Him. God said in the Old Testament there, I believe in the book of Numbers, He said, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. As I live for Him, as I yield to Him, I promise the blessings of God to be upon my life. But if I ever buck up and decide I'm going to do my own thing, then I need not expect His blessings. And in fact, I need to expect His cursing. Who's with me? Listen, child of God, you can live in all manner of sin, not feel the chastening hand of the Lord. Chances are you're not saved. As a child of God, you live contrary to God's will for your life, you're going to experience a whole lot of problems. That's called a curse. I had people get mad at me because I make statements like that. But I can't, listen, don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. The Bible says, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. The choice is yours. And the blessing if you obey, the curse if you disobey. I'm motivated. I'm talking about I'm so living for Him. I'm motivated by my love for Him. I'm motivated by my ownership to Him. I'm motivated by the blessings received from Him. And I'm motivated by my obligation to be a witness of Him in this world. Did He not say, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Nobody's, listen, if God saved you, if you're saved here at all, you know the Lord is your Savior. You're not saved to serve yourself. You're saved to serve others. He being our great example. Remember these words. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. The servant is not greater than his Lord. How can we expect the Lord Jesus Christ to serve us and us be so prideful that we'd not expect that we would serve Him? Shame on us. You make yourself above God when you do that. And you should, that you know you don't belong there. You'd never say that. But the truth of the matter is, that's what we do. When we acknowledge His service, we acknowledge what He's done for us, but we'll not do it for Him. Servant's not greater than his Lord. He's the Lord. We're the servant. We serve Him. Hallelujah. Listen, I let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. That's me. Because I was so lost. I realized I was so loved. I was made so alive. And now I'm so living for Him. And number five, lastly, because of this, I'm so looking for His return. I'm so looking for His return. He's coming back again. He's coming back again, and man, I can't wait. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. I'm ready. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, John wrote. And I say it often. Why? Because I'm ready for Him to come back again. And He acknowledges us as His children that we should be looking for His return. And there in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 11. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 11. You remember whenever He ascended up into heaven? Listen to what the words say there. Hear those two men. There in Acts 1:11, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven." He's not just going to come; He's going to so come in like manner. And I'm so looking for His return. There in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Bear with me, and I probably got it marked here. 4 verse number 8, the Bible says this, Paul talking about his time of departure being at hand. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And He said, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing." Are you looking for Him to come, child of God? Are you so looking for Him to come? Why? Because it's going to be a glorious time. It's going to be a glorious time. That trump of God will sound, and boy, the heavens are going to open up, and the Son of God is going to step out of the cloud. And it's going to be time for the saints of God to go home to be with the Lord. It's going to be a glorious time. It's going to be, I'm so looking for His return because it's going to be so glorious. Secondly, I'm so looking for His return because I'm going to be so gone. Gone. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, think about that sweet hour of prayer, that song there, that last verse ends with, "Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer." Hallelujah. I don't need to pray up there. I can talk to the Lord personally. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be so gone. I'm out of here. First of all, I'm so glorious. Secondly, I'm going to be so gone. And thirdly, it's going to be so good to be rewarded for our service down here. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. To go there with the Lord. I know there's going to be some things that I haven't done. None of us have been everything God wants us to be. But we've done some things right. And the Lord's going to bless that. We shall receive, He said, we shall reap if we faint not. And God's going to bless us with those rewards. And those rewards, all we do is turn right around and glorify the Lord with those things. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's me. That's me, because I was so lost. so lost. I realized I was so loved. None I pitied thee, Ezekiel chapter 16. When I passed by, I saw thee. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. And I said, live. I love it. I ought to read it. Make reference to it. Go to Ezekiel 16. Let it bless your heart. I was so loved. Now I'm so alive. And because of that, I'm so living for Him. And now I'm so looking for His return. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This morning, I want to ask you, is that you? Are you redeemed? Can you say so? You search your heart. Has there been a time in your life when you recognize you were so lost? You not be able to appreciate that being so loved before you recognize how lost you were. Do you see yourself as being somebody that was so lost? I do. I do. I saw myself as being so lost. And then from that, recognize how much God loved you. And because of such love, you received the gift of eternal life, and that made you so alive. And let me ask you, when's the last time you considered your living for Him? And now so looking for Him. If you're here this morning and you're unsure that heaven will be your home, if you close your eyes in death, none of us are promised another day, and you're unsure that heaven will be your home, I ask you to do this. At the invitation time, in a moment, we're going to stand together. I invite you to come forward and let somebody take the Word of God and share with you this simple gospel plan to make sure that you're born again, that you're going to heaven. If you're here this morning, you've been born again, you've not followed the Lord in scriptural baptism, you need to step forward and do that. Being obedient. Baby, a little child has to crawl before they can walk before they can run. It's a progress. It's a procession. Come and get that right this morning. And maybe you're here this morning, you know what, after all that God's done for me, I've not been living for Him. Maybe God touched your heart and you come down and draw close to Him once again. And experience a revival in your soul. And then go out and start looking for Him. Live for Him and then look for Him. Amen. Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I believe I've done what You want me to do this morning. I pray You'd bless this invitation time. Lord, I pray You grant courage this morning as we started out prayer this morning. God, give us the courage to take the steps which You call us to do. And Lord, there may be some in here this morning. They see themselves as fairly religious. They do good.